Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we see in Scripture some of the fruits of jealousy and envy. God can work through anything, but you can see how jealousy and envy can twist, how much it can twist the Lord's plan. God can make everything work together for the good. He can turn anything around. But oh my goodness, how much better it would be if we could say to the Lord, "Thy will be done," as Jesus did, as John the Baptist did, as Mary did, as so many saints have done down through the generations. "Thy will, not mine, be done." That's the key. And we're most of the time, we're so afraid of that will that we fight against it. Or, well, yes, I want God's will, but right now what I want is this. And whether it's opposed to God's will or not, I don't know. We don't even say those words. We don't think it through that way. But in effect, that's what we're saying is, but I want this right now. Later, I'll do God's will. Well, in many, many lives, there is no later. It's important to open our hearts for the grace to do God's will. We won't be a puppet. We won't be a slave. We will become absolutely free because we will be living out the purpose for which we were created. You have free will. You can choose to turn away. But you miss the gifts and the graces. You miss, in a certain way, the power and the glory of being the Lord's disciple, of being his son or daughter. It's that willingness in faith to say, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Let's take a look at the scriptures for today. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 12, and then 15 and 16. Abram's wife, Sarah, had borne him no children. That was for them a sign that God had turned away from them, that God did not love them, that they had no children, that there was some kind of a curse on the family. Abram's wife Sarah had borne him no children. She had, however, an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. Sarah said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from bearing children. Have intercourse then with my maid. Perhaps I shall have sons through her." She was just a slave, so the children would bear the name of the father. Abram heeded Sarah's request. And thus, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, his wife Sarah took her maid Hagar the Egyptian and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his concubine. He had intercourse with her, and she became pregnant. When she became aware of her pregnancy, now watch, she looked on her mistress with disdain. See, I'm blessed because I am going to have a child. You're barren. You're cursed. And so Sarah is terribly hurt, and she becomes terribly angry. So Sarah said to Abram, "You're responsible for this outrage against me. I myself gave my maid to your embrace, but ever since she became aware of her pregnancy, she has been looking on me with disdain. May the Lord decide between you and me." Yeah, she upped the ante on this one. Abram told Sarah, "Your maid is in your power. Do to her whatever you please." Sarah then abused her so much that Hagar ran away from her. Now, they both have sinned against each other, Sarah and Hagar. Hagar taunted Sarah because she was barren. Sarah now gets very angry with Hagar because she has a child and she feels displaced. She's uncomfortable, so she gets angry with Hagar. So back and forth, they're both guilty. The Lord's messenger found her by a spring in the wilderness, that is Hagar, the spring on the road to Shur, and he asked Hagar, maid of Sarah, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And she answered, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah." But the Lord's messenger said to her, go back to your mistress, submit to her abusive treatment. I will make your descendants so numerous, added the Lord's messenger, that they will be too many to count. Besides, the Lord's messenger said to her, you are now pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard you, God has answered you. This one shall be a wild ass of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. In opposition to all his kin shall he encamp. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named the son whom Hagar bore him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. The commentary in Magnificat magazine says this, those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who listen to and act on the words of Jesus will be like a wise man whose house is built on rock. As Hagar experienced, no matter what force of abuse is unleashed on us, we stand firm, we do not collapse, the authority of Christ upholds us. Psalm 106, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God can work good out of everything if we're obedient, if we cooperate. Now let's see the part that the gospel plays in all of this. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. Jesus said to his disciples, not everyone who says to me, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? And then I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. See, here's where we have to be careful. Always, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, the motive is the biggest issue. What is your motive? You can do all kinds of pious things, but if your motive is self-centered, if it's selfish, it won't be pleasing to God, period. So we have to take a look at our motivation again and again. They say, we used all these gifts of yours, don't you know us? And he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, in other words, not everyone who prays to me will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the key phrase, brothers and sisters, for you and me. It's not our prayers, it's not our external actions that count. God looks at the intent of our heart. Am I doing this to be seen and known and praised? Am I doing this to get brownie points? Whatever that action might be, prayer or charitable work, why am I doing it? To get brownie points? No. I want to do the will of my Father in heaven, however it shows itself to me in each day. I want his will more than mine. That's critical, brothers and sisters. And you see all the twists and turns that the human condition can make in the Old Testament and in the New. But you need to gain from this that the most important thing is that I want God's will in my life. So the gospel says to us again, Chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? And then I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. If we're not explicitly doing all our good works or prayers or whatever, if we're not doing it because we're seeking to do the will of God, to live closer and closer with him, if we're doing any of those things so that we will receive the praise of others, it does not count in the kingdom of God. It does not. I do what I do, no matter the outcome, whether everybody sees it and praises me or nobody sees it, I do what I do for the glory of God, for the love of God. I desire to carry out his will with my whole life. That's the simplicity that we all have to get to. And we can only get there by grace because we are so self-focused, so looking out for self, that it's very hard to turn that around. But God will give us the grace to do it if we will yield to it. The gospel goes on, everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. Brothers and sisters, you know, I mean, you certainly have seen it on the news in many parts of the world, what storms and tsunamis and earthquakes do. And what this gospel is telling us is that in a moment, our whole lives can be changed, turned upside down and inside out. It's not the external storms, but it's the internal storms that come. That just as the external storms destroy the physical landscape, so the internal storms can destroy us. Unless, Lord, I want to do your will in everything. I want you to receive the glory, not me. Do you remember I told you some years ago, and I've never forgotten this, there was a Protestant minister who was a marvelous preacher. Marvelous. As solid as a rock. Very, very good. And I was listening to him preaching, and I just said, now there is a gift. There is a gift of preaching. And afterwards, I just went up to him and I said, Pastor, I want to just thank you for your sermon. It was very, very good. And we went on to talk about it. And he said, Sister, he said, thank you. He said, God has given me a gift and I'm grateful for it. But he said, when people come up like you and thank me, I receive it. And I am glad that God is willing to use me this way. I receive the thanks. But he said, the moment I can get alone, the moment I can get to my room, I get down on my knees beside the bed or wherever I am, I get down on my knees and I say, and all the glory belongs to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not to me. Now that's a man who had his head on straight. He received the gratitude that people gave him. He didn't poo-poo it. He didn't turn away from it. He didn't tell them to be quiet. He received it. That's fine. But then he gave it away to the one to whom it fully belongs. He knew where the source of life was. Do we? Do we? When Jesus finished his words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority. They knew there was something life-giving in his words, that they weren't just like the scribes repeating the law. He was speaking from a heart of love and mercy to them, and they heard, and it changed them. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.